Hello and welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, where we cast a critical eye over every single episode of the hit CW show, The Vampire Diaries. My name's Catherine and I'm joined with my co-host, Ellie.
Hello.
And someone who revealed that to make the cool kids like her, she used to wear ballet flats, watch Made in Chelsea and roll up her skirt. Alice is here.
Hello, hello. I'm afraid I didn't get very far through Made in Chelsea. I got, I think, an episode in, but I tried.
Weren't you worried with Made in Chelsea because you thought you had to go back to season one and by this point they were on like season 20?
Yes, this was my second attempt.
Yeah, I do think that's how reality shows work. I think in general you can, you know, hop in.
Oh, definitely, yeah. With this one. Not to slander it, but it's an easy watch.
Anyway, today we are talking about season 2, episode 10, The Sacrifice. It originally aired on the 2nd of December 2010. The episode was written by Caroline Dries and directed by Ralph Haymaker. The Gilbert siblings compete for who can make the stupidest choices. Elena tries and fails to track down Klaus, while Jeremy tries and fails to be a helpful member of the team, resulting in our favourite dumb boy, Stefan, being trapped in the tomb.
I think that might be my favourite summary that you've done.
This episode really doesn't live up to its name, does
they
it?
They were so stupid.
I was actually so bored. The only bit that I did like, which I wouldn't normally say, is Tyler and Caroline.
That stuff was good.
It's the only bit I liked.
I feel like I never look forward to those scenes, usually. And I was like, come on, this is what's getting me through this episode. Dear God.
I agree.
It was such a frustrating episode otherwise.
And it was just like dragged out. I didn't really care for the stuff at Slater's apartment until the very end. And I didn't really care for the other points of, I didn't care for this protectiveness of Jeremy and Bonnie. I didn't care for Bonnie being ridiculous and doing a spell that literally killed her grandma.
Oh my
again,
God.
By herself.
I agree. And we didn't learn anything really. Like, it was a very, very pointless episode.
I've watched this episode twice and I still can't really remember it. It's left that much of an impression.
When you say twice, you mean twice for this episode, this like podcast recording. You don't mean twice in general.
Yes, not twice ever. Yeah. I watched it like 2 weeks ago. And
yeah, because someone cancelled our record last minute. That was me.
How dare they?
Outrageous.
You guys are both looking at me like, that was you, Catherine. I know.
I was trying to remember which one though. No, I think you did it the week before and this one was me.
Alice watched it for when I cancelled, right?
No, I watched them both for the first time. Whoever cancelled first, I watched them both at that time.
Yeah, because you did it in time, Ellie. I did it like 3 hours before.
I love us being like, this is so slow, it's so boring. But last episode, we were like, you know what? Sometimes they just need to take a beat. They don't need to rush through everything.
But I feel like they could use the beat.
Yeah. I think that goes with our point then. Some of the stuff, all the insane things that happened last week could have gone in this one then. Like, we could have just spread it out a bit more.
And also, like, use the time for some good character development or something. If you're going to, like, take a beat, explore some relationships, do some fun things. Don't just make stupid decisions.
Yeah.
And it's true, like, the stuff with Luca and Bonnie could have been a lot more interesting if we didn't know that he was, like, bonding with her for a reason.
Anyway, let's start at the top. Elena wakes up and there's a series of things we have to address. The first is that she's sleeping with her diary open next to her.
Yep.
And the lights on and on top of her duvet under a blanket.
And like, I don't think it's like, oh, she just fell asleep, because when she goes back to bed, she didn't move the diary. She just lays next to it.
And she happily gets back in the blanket. And I'm like, you've got a perfectly good duvet there. That blanket looks awful.
Oh, God. And then when she gets up, she bumps into Rick in his boxes.
Yes. And I think he does something worse, which is he's holding a bowl of ice cream, I think. They say it's Chunky Monkey or something. I was like, is it cereal? Is it ice cream? I think it's ice cream. And he moves it to cover himself. And if I was Rick, I would just not acknowledge it.
Yeah, just brief chit chat, then leave.
No chit chat. No, Al, no chit chat. He's her teacher.
Yeah.
I think you could have been like, you just literally just have to be like, oh crap, yeah. Sorry, and just walk straight past.
No yeah. chit chat.
That's yeah, all you need to do.
He shouldn't be wandering around his student's house, his underage student's house, and his boxers, full stop. I'm sorry, if you want to leave the room, you should like chuck on a robe or something.
1,000,010%. Also because when they were like, oh, whoopsie, we thought everyone was asleep. People can get up to get water. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I'm up to pee all the time. Honestly.
they have an ensuite though. That is the thing.
Yeah, but like, when you're a teacher.
Oh, no, 1,000,000%.
Just be cautious.
Oh, no, sorry. I was just being like to Alice. I'm going into the minutiae of the detail that if they needed to get up to pee, they maybe don't need to leave their room. I fully agree that a teacher should be fully clothed in his student's house.
Look, it's inappropriate. It's not inappropriate, but I do think there must be like certain rules when you do start dating like a student's parent. And I think you probably need to, you know, have like a, just be clothed.
That feels like quite a minimum standard to have. And at the same time, we realise that Dr. Martin, or Jonas, is in the house. And he's taken some things from Elena's room.
Yeah, and he leaves and just like shuts the door, not very quietly, like the main door.
He's not a vampire. He doesn't seem like he's done an invisibility spell. He's just a guy, and they don't notice, sense, or feel his presence at all.
Yeah, because I thought that, because he was like hiding around the corners and hiding from her, so like an invisibility spell would make so much more sense. And I wish the writers had thought of that. And again, Catherine, this is why you need to be on the writing room in the CW.
No. And he's just going through her things. It's a creepy start to the episode. We've got the naked teacher. We've got a grown man going through Elena's things.
That's what I wrote. I wrote it as the title. I wrote creepy start. And then I couldn't find my notes because I didn't write the episode. I just wrote creepy start.
Yeah, it is.
1,000,010%.
Gosh, how do we want to tackle this one? Because we've got several various dumb plans.
Can we go with the Jeremy, Bonnie, Stefan, Damon plan? Because I like the ending of the Elena plan.
Yes, okay, good. Yeah, let's get this over with.
Yeah, so Stefan and Damon have suddenly decided that they now want the Moonstone. If only they hadn't have put it in the tomb for literally no reason. And they're going to go speak to Catherine or whatever.
Yeah, and for some reason they just assume that Catherine Pierce, who they also locked in the tomb without her will, is just going to hand it back over because they're idiots.
Honestly, why did they let her have it in the first place? They could have put it anywhere, but no.
Because they don't think a damn thing through, like no one.
Assume it was Damon, because I assume it was like, haha, you've got what you wanted, the Moonstone. You know what I mean? Like, I just assume, like, they thought they were being, like, clever and, like, getting one up on Catherine while being the fucking dumbest people in the world.
Yep.
Yeah, or were they trying to protect it from other vampires? Because, like, if vampires got in the tomb, then they couldn't have it. But I think, I swear we said what they should have done is just put it back in the well where Mason left it, because it's full of vervain and snakes.
Or in a house that a vampire can't get in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rick lives so alone. He doesn't seem like he invites anyone round to his house because he has no friends. Like, keep it in a safe there or something.
That's where Rick should be sleeping with Jenna in. Like, I know that you shouldn't leave children alone all the time, but
she's,
maybe
she's
once
17,
in a blue.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should be at his house.
I think that would be better. But yeah, I agree. There's so many other ways of where they could have put the Moonstone.
Yeah. But yeah, so they've come up with the plan to... if they dispel the Moonstone, then this is literally it's so convoluted. The Moonstone is one of the things that binds the curse. So if they dispel the Moonstone, Klaus can't break the curse, and then Elena won't have to die in the sacrifice.
Yes, and Elena's really annoyed by this because in the previous episodes, Catherine's been like, if you mess up Klaus's plan, he will kill your entire friends and family. So she's very anti this plan because she's like, it's just going to wound up getting everyone else.
For once, in this moment, she has some self-awareness. Not the rest of the episode, dumb plan. But in that moment where Stefan is like, if we do this, if we can do this, if we do this, we can save your life. And she's like, And for once, I'm with her.
I also think they don't have enough information. Like, they don't really know anything about the curse. They don't really know anything about Klaus. Like, I don't think they should be making these big moves at this point in time.
No.
No, they should do all the digging that they possibly can do and then have, like, options A to Z, quite frankly, and then list out the pros and the cons. It's a very long-winded process, but I really think it would have been worthwhile for them to actually put some thought in.
Yeah, why not? At this point, there's no rush because they think Elijah's dead. Mm-hmm. They think Klaus doesn't know about Elena. So they don't have to be rushing. They can take their time.
Hmm.
And that Catherine's in the tubes. That's the other person they knew about the doppelganger.
Yeah, so they're absolutely fine. They're just panicking.
Just chill out.
Yeah. So then Bonnie is going to de-spell this moonstone. And Jeremy gets very sort of overprotective and says, oh, let me do it. Someone has to go in and incapacitate Catherine to get the moonstone back.
So can we just talk about, kind of before Bonnie does that, doesn't she have that scene with Luca? Because she learns about channeling.
Yes.
Oh, this is such a stupid scene. I wish it wasn't happening at school. I liked the concept of the scene, but the fact that it was happening at school, I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, because, I agree. Because Luca, look, I like that they're learning about magic. I, for some reason on this rewatch, I never liked the character before, really like Luca. I really like him and Bonnie. I think they're actually great together, you know, ignoring like chemistry-wise, couple-wise. Like, I think they like work and I think it's interesting. It is very sad that he's playing her, ignoring that part of it. That could be a really interesting couple. However, he decides to teach her how to channel in the middle of school and they start like making this crazy wind
subtle
in front of everyone.
A brick, honestly.
Yeah.
Also, everyone is like running away from the wind in this like apparent sudden tornado. And the two of them are just standing there holding each other's jewelry with their eyes closed, facing each other. Like, it's the most unsubtle thing in the world. Yeah. And then Jeremy Gilbert walks up and is like, what's with this weather, huh?
Yeah. See, this is why I think I like Luca, because Luca was like, ugh, clearly hates Jeremy. And I'm like, yes, a man of taste.
Exactly. Also, like, surely Jeremy knows that Bonnie's a witch. Like, surely he knew that was magic and not like a freak weather storm.
But he's an idiot.
Oh, they're all so stupid in this episode.
I know. Yeah. So then this goes on to what happens later is that Bonnie learns that like a witch, there are different ways that a witch can like increase her power. Bonnie's witch education has been like cut short by Grams's death. So like there's so much stuff that she just doesn't know. And he talks about there's different ways you can like increase your power through like nature and things. And one way is team up with another witch, which Bonnie has done before.
Yes. Sheila.
Yeah. She's channeled before.
Is channeling the same as doing a spell with another witch? Because if you do a spell with another witch, then you don't need to channel them. So is channeling like what Bonnie does later on in the episode, where it's like you're just harnessing their power?
Yes, but when her and Luca were making that big old wind, they were both doing it, right?
Yeah, that is a very good point.
And he said that was channeling.
I don't think the writers know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mystery.
But then, yeah, definitely Bonnie has done it before. Yeah.
She just didn't know the technical term.
Yeah, this is why, I mean, we've said it before and I'll say it again. It is just so sad because it's those scenes where Luca's like teaching Bonnie about magic or like helping her on her journey of becoming a stronger witch. It's just really sad that it's for a different motive and he's only bonding because he's been told to bond.
And I wouldn't, well, look, I'm minded that this is Bonnie's like second flirty guy that's done it to her, but I wouldn't have minded it so much if, I don't know, it had like a bit of focus and like we were talking about last time, like Luca gets to be more of a character and it has more like time and weight to it. But because they're clearly alongside it doing this like Bonnie and Jeremy thing, which is fucking horrific, it doesn't get any time and therefore it's just like, oh.
Well, I don't know. I feel like, because I think part of the reason of them revealing it early how that Luca and his dad have an ulterior motive is maybe to get the audience behind Bonnie and Jeremy as a couple, and it just doesn't work.
I won't.
No.
You can't make me.
He is an idiot.
Yeah.
Like in every way, shape and form. He also like, it's when they're talking about the plan of like how they're going to get the Moonstone. And Jeremy's like, I've got my ring. Just send me in. And it's like, that doesn't mean that you can take on Catherine Pierce of all people. Like it doesn't make you...
You just get killed over and over again.
Hasn't he learned? Do you not remember when Damon put him in a headlock and he went, I can just take the ring off your hand and then kill you? It is not, yeah. It works like with the element of surprise. The ring doesn't really work. Person knows about the ring, which Catherine does.
She chopped off John's hand and then stabbed him.
Yeah.
Like, let's not forget. I did appreciate.
I guess he's not dead. Pretty he's much, just yeah. gone. But yeah.
I did appreciate Damon just being like, thank you, you 16-year-old child.
Yes. Why was he invited to the planning session? Who's inviting him?
Did he follow Bonnie? Probably.
I think, yeah, because Bonnie got the text from Damon or the phone call from Damon when she was with Jeremy, and Jeremy was probably like, I want in.
Oh, you think he just, one of those things where someone just assumes they're invited to something?
Yep.
Yeah, or like, I think he maybe knew he wasn't invited and just came anyway. Like, both things would not surprise me.
I don't know if he'd have, like, the social awareness to know he's not welcome. Because he thinks he's a badass.
He really does. He's also playing, like, such a protective role with Bonnie in this episode that I just think he would have barged in either way.
But this is the thing, like, oh, the spell is too much for her. Do you not remember that your grams died? Like, Bonnie would forget. But instead of, like, just telling Stefan... Because Stefan wouldn't want Bonnie to die for this. So instead of just telling Stefan, yeah. He takes matters into... I just feel like he could open his mouth.
Yeah.
I also think the way that they're like hiding Bonnie's nosebleeds and stuff, she's in front of two vampires. Like, surely they can smell that she's bleeding?
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Also, like, does she think she's not going to be found out later on that same day?
Yeah, when she dies. I think it's so dumb. Do you remember season one where Elena had a teeny tiny cut on her, like, her hand, and Stefan started like vamp when he was making the mozzarella? Stefan started vamping out.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, also, it's just wild to me, and Elena makes this point, and we'll get onto it when we talk about it, but I actually thought so valid from her of like, they're all so happy to risk their lives to save Elena, and then like, why do they kick off when Elena maybe wants to do the same? I do think it was a stupid plan, but it's because both all the plans are stupid, like Bonnie risking her life to save Elena's life, and stupid. Elena risking her life to save
Jeremy,
like,
risking his life stupid. To save Bonnie's life. Dumb.
At this point, no it one needs to Bonnie's risk life. Their lives. At this point, no one mm-hmm. needs to. There is no threat in front of any character up until the end. There is no need to.
The threat is Catherine Pierce, and Jeremy just walks like straight into that.
Yep.
God.
Also, what infuriates me so much about Jeremy is how cocky he is when he's like going into the tomb. He's like, Catherine comes up and then he manages to like throw the powder at her, and he's like, figured you'd say that. And he's so full of it. He thinks he's going to absolutely win here.
Because they don't think about the fact that they don't know where the Moonstone is. So all they've thought about is like how to incapacitate Catherine. But Bonnie like burns this photo of Catherine to make this ash that will immobilize her. Jeremy takes only a small part of it.
This is what I was going to say about that, is just I hate how convoluted everything is and how hard it is to describe everything. They don't just go in, they have to burn a photo yeah. and make an ash and then take some of it and then throw it in her face. I hate it.
It's so stupid. Ridiculous. Yeah, but and it's only immobilizes her for like a couple of seconds. Also, what I thought they maybe could have done is, you know that spell that Bonnie does where, oh, it doesn't really work on Catherine. The like mind
no,
thing.
No, it doesn't.
She's tried it on Catherine before, hasn't she? Okay, I take that point back. But like, there's a better spell that they could have done to mobilize her. And then Jeremy could maybe have thought, where's the Moonstone?
Or maybe even a backup plan. Immobilize her, then, I don't know, stab her to keep her down for a bit. Something.
He had a stake. Like, just keep it with him.
Or like, Rick has loads of like stake firing things. Why can't we fire one of them, pin her to a wall, like a big fork thing? They've got time. They don't have to do it that day. Like, find a way to pin her down and then get the stone.
Also, like, why wasn't Rick involved? Right? Like, they could have actually, Rick and Jeremy could have gone in together.
Yeah.
And one of them could have had the ash and just like watched Rick because he's a vampire hunter, could have had the ash, stood over Catherine to make sure that she's immobilized, keep spraying her with the ash to like keep her down, stab her a few times, and then Jeremy can spend the time looking for the moonstone.
Why not just kill Catherine? They were gonna do it anyway. Like two episodes ago. What is this?
Yeah, surely immobilize kill.
Yeah.
Maybe they think she's got too much knowledge now. They like think they can, but I feel like there's always so much contradiction, because it was like last episode Stefan was like, oh, she's lying, she's a liar, all this stuff. This episode they're treating her as if she's like irreplaceable.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Long story short, the spell, body spell doesn't work. She channels Luca without his permission, which I do think is really
very messed up, right?
When she doesn't know, like, even if she knew what he was up to, still dodgy. She has no idea. She just thinks he's this nice guy who's teaching her magic, and then, yeah. I guess maybe she doesn't know about the... I don't know how much Luca told her about the side effects or consequences, but still not okay to do.
She knows Sheila dies.
Yeah.
Like, she knows it's a risk. Yeah. To life.
Even that, like, it just feels violating to use someone else's magic, and like it feels violating for us, the audience, who have no magic. So surely, like, for a witch, she knows, like, this is a fucked up thing to do.
And like, he just came home and was shocked, and just like, he didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
It's quite hard scene to watch, actually, watching him kind of realize what's happening, and then he just kind of like falls to the floor. You don't know what's happening,
and his dad not knowing what's going on.
He was just trying to do his homework. Yeah. He was just being a responsible student. Our regular people could never.
Absolutely. So that spell doesn't work. Obviously, Jeremy's stupid plan doesn't work. So Jeremy gets stuck in the tomb with Catherine, just like feeding off him. Bonnie can't open the spell, so of course, what does Stefan do? Runs in. Saves Jeremy, gets stuck in the tomb with Catherine, and do you see how happy she looks? Yeah.
Just what she wanted.
Literally. Yeah, it's gone real well for her.
And then Bonnie takes Jeremy home and tells him, between here and upstairs, there's still time for you to do something stupid, which I very much support from Bonnie.
But she's not exempt from that. She's one of the stupid ones this episode. There's time for them both to do something stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, declare their feelings for one another. Oh, that's also stupid.
Off.
Also, I just hate the way Jeremy does it. Like, it's just awful. Don't tell me that this... Don't act like this is one-sided. I don't know, just... He gives me the ick.
Yeah, oh, it's such a strong ick from Jeremy. Like, everything he does since episode one. No.
I just hate this couple. And I feel like we only got a few episodes where I've been freed of Matt and Caroline, and like, now I'm forced to have Bonnie and Jeremy again. Like, why are we endless? And we had like Vicky and Jeremy. Like, why do we endlessly always have to have a terrible couple
all the time? Yeah, because we were quite happy with Anna and Jeremy. Yeah. I would have been happy to keep that going.
She made us like Jeremy. There were several scenes where we were like, this is fun to watch.
Yeah.
I also think Bonnie just deserves someone worthy of Bonnie, and that is not Jeremy Gilbert. No.
It is insulting to, like, your second lead female character to not have her, like... A lady gets to hook up with, like, the sexy vampires. Bonnie gets to hook up with, like, Elena's kid brother. It just feels... And it's nothing against Steve McQueen. It's just, like... It just feels insulting, like, character-wise, like, putting the two together. I don't know, it was treated as less than the other characters.
It would even be different, I think, if he was like the kind of he was an older brother who was like, I don't know, a bit more like had mystery to it. Like, I think that would make a huge difference. But no, it's like the sort of, yeah, as you said, the kid brother.
Mm-hmm. And he is younger than her. It's not like crazy, but you know.
I think in high school, it's like, there's still something about it in high school, isn't it? Like, once you get out of it, you're like, oh yeah, actually, like, age doesn't matter that much.
Yeah.
I remember being very age obsessed in high school, of just like, even one year was like a big...
I guess it is more of a thing in kind of development. Like, I feel like between, I don't know, 24 and 25, there's not really any difference in terms of like maturity and where you're at. But between like 14 and 16 or 15 and 17, there's a huge difference.
Yes. But Elena is dating someone who is like 150. So like, in the show, we can't be too snippy about this age gap.
Yeah. But it's...
But can we not also
like
find it weird that Elena is dating people who are 150? 50 or 140, whatever.
Yeah, but we've largely
accepted
it.
That's weird too. Yeah. Yeah.
What we still also have never really accepted is like Damon dating people their age. Because even from the outside, even people who don't know that he's a vampire, like that should not be condoned of like Damon and Caroline when they were dating.
No.
No, that was awful.
No.
What do they say? Jeremy confesses their feelings and Bonnie's like, we can't do it. Is that what happens?
I think she says, I can't, and walks out the door.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Me.
So not here for it at all.
Oh, let's move on. The thing is, like, this clearly isn't ended. We're going to have to keep talking about Jeremy and Bonnie.
I know.
This isn't ever.
I'm so not upsetting. Ready.
They have no chemistry. They have none.
Nope.
Also, it's just like it came from nothing. Like, because they've clearly been, it's not like Jeremy's been like had a crush on Bonnie for ages. And like, they've clearly been hanging out for years and years and years and years. Like, Bonnie's clearly been in Jeremy's life. Jeremy's been in Bonnie's life. So I do feel like if there was something there, there would have been some kind of feeling. But there has been nothing until like the masquerade ball where they like sat next to each other and had one conversation.
And also, it was very one-sided. Like, Jeremy's saying, don't act like it's one-sided. From as far as we can tell, it is.
She's been flirting with Luca.
Yeah.
God. Right. Let's move on to talk about Caroline and Tyler.
Onwards and upwards.
Okay.
Because this is the best bit of the episode, so let's raise our spirits.
Yes, so true. I think Caroline is such a good person.
Yes.
She's so great.
Yeah, no, she's great.
Oh, I love it when, so she comes up to Tyler and asks him if he's got a plan for the full moon, offers to help, and he kind of turns down her help, like, oh, it's private. And then Caroline, bless her, goes, I'm student council VP, vice president, head of the prom committee, and I single-handedly organized the town cleanup campaign, and you're going to ignore my help? Icon.
I love her so much. I also love that she's not like, I'm a vampire and I can help you do things. She's just like, these are my like school extracurricular activities.
She doesn't need to play that card. She'd be worthy of help anyway. So just prior to Caroline offering to help Tyler, we have Matt coming over to him to apologize. And like, I do feel like we've talked a lot about like Caroline's character development. I do think Tyler has gone through some too, because he really accepts Matt's apology with a lot of grace. Because Matt did, you know, like, hit him and insult his dead dad and say really horrific things. And Tyler's just kind of automatically like at peace with him. And this whole thing is he's become a wealth and he's trying to like protect people and not like go on like a murderous rampage. Other, like, that's great character development. But you know what I mean? Mm. He's like, he is actually like thinking of others for the first time.
For Tyler, that is like huge character development, like from what we've seen before. No, and we hadn't seen Matt in ages. I kind of forgot that he and Matt, like Tyler and Matt, hadn't spoken since the night Tyler killed Sarah.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about Caroline and Tyler at this point?
I like their friendship. I think it's a really interesting dynamic. I think there's room for exploration into that, like, kind of, I think that there's a lot of mystery about, oh, Caroline knows so much more than Tyler knows. I think it's kind of a really interesting dynamic that they can explore. But yeah, I think as a friendship, I'm like,
yeah, I think it gives them both opportunities to like develop. And I, even though there's a lot that Caroline's keeping from Tyler, which is a lot of things, and we will probably get onto it further in like different episodes and stuff, but like, I do like that she doesn't want him to be alone. And even though the others don't want him to know about them and all of that and bring him into the mess, she's like, I'm not going to let you go through this by yourself, and I'm going to do what I can to help you. I think that's very nice.
Yeah, I like them. I think they both make the other character better. I've just read in my notes, I wrote, well done, Tyler, you're putting together a slight plan.
Given what everyone else is doing in this episode, that is an achievement.
Yes, and he's thinking it through. Yeah, because he shows Caroline the like Lockwood cellar where he's planning on like transforming, and he's worked out like that's where Mason transforms. And then Caroline finds a diary and stop the presses. This isn't the vampire diaries anymore. This is the werewolf diaries, because it's Mason's diary.
Ooh la la. of course she just finds his diary on the floor of where they're going to do the transformation. And of course then they open the diary and there's a memory card of a
very
video.
Very convenient.
Like, of course.
Yeah. Also, when they've all been in there a fair few times, you would have thought they would have found it.
Is Mason the type to keep a diary?
No.
Absolutely not.
Maybe he'd have taped his transformation because I think he's the kind of guy who'd want to watch it back. But diary, no.
Also, this is his first, because it turns out he's recorded his first transformation, so that the same thing that Tyler's going to go through. So did Mason know he had become a werewolf, and how?
Because he was with Catherine.
Really, then why does he keep trusting Catherine if she's suddenly like, oh yeah, your family's cursed and you've just like, because he didn't know anything before he killed that guy, right?
Yeah, no, he didn't.
I bet Catherine really cleverly like made him find out for himself.
Yeah, maybe.
I can imagine her hitching a good plan.
Maybe she had, there's some Lockwood journals somewhere and she's just like, look into your family history. Because he's like, so I've triggered the curse.
Yeah, he knows a lot about it.
Yeah. No, because the reason he looks for the moonstone in the first place with Catherine is because Catherine says to him that she's going to break it for him so he doesn't have to turn anymore.
Yes. I'm just saying, like, only maximum of 4 weeks into him becoming a werewolf, she's told, she was like, I knew the whole time. So she couldn't have been like, I've been doing like extensive research and I found there's a way to break the curse.
I don't know. People are stupid in this show. Maybe they won't just believe anything Catherine says.
Yeah, he was a bit of a dummy.
Yeah, bless him. R.I.P. King. Yeah. I do feel so bad for Tyler, though, watching it. He's watching this horrific transformation that seems to be going on for hours, and Caroline just continues to read out the journal of how painful it is the next day. And I did write down, like, maybe Caroline, you should stop now. Like, maybe just, like, read the room.
Yeah, because it's like Tyler goes, like, 5 hours into this video, and, like, Caroline's like, reading out, I felt all of it. Yeah, not the timing.
How scared would you be if you watched that video of Mason and you were like, this is gonna happen to me tomorrow?
Oh god, no. I do feel really bad for Tyler. It looks horrid.
Yeah, last hours, like you said, like every bone in his body breaks, like they're just, and also like it is his uncle who he loves, so it's also this like sick thing of like, this happened to someone like I know and it's going to happen to me. I do want to appreciate the 2010 Windows media player that came up when they were playing the video. That took me right back.
Oh, 1,000,000%. Actually, so just still on the point of like Tyler and Caroline's friendship, what I don't like that they did in this episode is that they've now somehow turned it into a love triangle already, because I do think Caroline is just being there for Tyler, who is going through something which is truly horrific, like now that he's seen the video. And then Matt appears at the house being like, I miss you, to Caroline, and Tyler appears, and they've made it into a thing that they didn't need to, or if they were going to, they didn't need to do it this episode, I don't think.
No,
like, I just think they could have had like, let Tyler get through this transition, but until you add in this like Matt drama, if that's something you're gonna do.
I also hate that it just really feels like Matt's at the door and he expects Caroline to come running.
Yeah,
Matt's really grating on me. Even his apology, and I know he was sorry, but everything about him this episode is annoying.
He was in like 2 minutes of it. I reckon he was barely.
No.
I also love the way you say that, Alice, like he doesn't grate on us every time. It's like this is something new that we don't like Matt.
That much of him recently.
Yep.
Yeah,
but he's no, yeah, but it's because we haven't seen him, not because he's not been grating.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah, I do feel like this show can't do anything with their characters apart from put them in relationships, because it is like, it's so obviously like telegraphed that like, oh, Bonnie and Jeremy have had a conversation. Oh, Caroline and Tyler have had a conversation. Oh, Matt's at Caroline's door. You know, it's so painful.
Yeah.
It's so, it takes nothing for them to be like, okay, that's now couple territory.
Thing.
Yeah, like they couldn't bring Matt back to this episode just to have like a bonding moment with Tyler. Like he has to have something romantic going on. Like if he's going to be in the episode, he has to have something happening with Caroline or a different character. Like that they can't make it about friendships, like, can they?
Yeah. Is he of our like Oh, I guess Jenna. So of our core characters, only Matt and Jenna don't know about, like, the supernatural, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that kind of just means, like, from the moment, like the show stopped being about hiding the secret, it kind of just means that there's nothing to really do with, like, Matt and Jenna. Never that there wasn't ever, like, loads to do with those characters, but it does kind of mean they're just, like, there, and they have to keep finding, like, oh, Jenna's had great sex, so we're going to do a little scene about that. Like, you know what I mean? They have to, like, write them into it somehow.
Yeah.
And it never makes sense to keep them in the dark.
Yeah. I guess Matt at this point, yeah. But Jenna, it makes no goddamn sense.
She's more at risk. Well, she is. She Catherine compelled her to stab herself. If she'd known and been on Vervain, maybe that wouldn't have happened.
They just have to have, like, a few awkward conversations. That's the only downside. Yeah. And go for it.
Mm.
Yeah. And then our final storyline of the episode is Elena and Rose. So first things first, Elena walks into the Salvatore house and is shocked to find Rose having slept with Damon in a very weird way. Like, I don't know. I found her reaction bizarre.
I hate how they do this because they always try and make Elena jealous with Damon sleeping with people when she's, like, perfectly happy with Stefan.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not here for Elena, like, getting jealous over something like this. Like, I don't think she would be.
She's like, oh my God, two consenting adults have had sex? How dare they?
Outrageous.
Yeah. Elena's there to ask Rose to take her to Slater's house because, and I quote, Rose owes her one.
I also love that you've just said, asks. It's a demand. She's like, Elena is so ballsy with vampires, and I'm just like, they could kill you in a heartbeat if they wanted to.
I also feel like Rose is like making, like, was like her owing her one was she was giving her this information about Klaus. Like, that was it, wasn't it? Why is Elena now demanding more things? Also, Elena loves to, like, make promises on behalf of other people because she promises that Bonnie, who didn't even want to give Caroline, her best friend, a daylight ring, will make Rose a daylight ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why should she? Why would Bonnie ever want to do that?
No.
As Elena asked.
But it's for Elena's ridiculous plan.
Well, I think she was never going to do it, was she? Because she also promises later on in the episode, we'll get to it because I am jumping around. But they get to Slater's house. They find out Slater's dead. Slater has this girlfriend called Alice. And to get Alice to give her Elena information on Slater, she says that Rose will turn her into a vampire. And, like, then says to Rose, no, she doesn't. That's not going to happen. I know that's not going to happen. So I think she's saying the same thing about
But Rose doesn't go, oh, so were you doing the same thing to me earlier? She doesn't, like, put those two points together.
No, she just smiles. She's just like, ah, sneaky, cool.
Yeah, so the two of them go on a girl's trip to Slater's house and Rose finds yet another one of her friends dead. She's not having a great day for it. And that's when they meet the character named after you, Alice.
I know, but evidently Rose hates this woman.
Well, how do you feel about her, Al?
She doesn't live up to the name.
No.
I'm just saying, my namesake character is an icon and a legend.
Oh,
yours,
honestly,
is quite annoying.
How I wish I had Catherine instead.
Yeah. We've not had an Ellie yet. Do we ever have one?
I don't know.
I feel like we might do.
I'm scared that it's going to be Elena is the closest, but I'm really praying for
Elena's not a bad one. Better than the Alice.
Better than Alice, that is true.
Because this woman, some kind of, like, vampire fangirl. She's you. She's hanging around vampires, talking about them all the time with the hope that they'll turn her.
Doing all the research. And bless Slater, probably, like, really loved talking about the research, thinking that she was interested in, like, that and in his work. But no. Like, when Damon arrives later and Alice is like, oh my God, you're Damon Salvatore. Like, this is horrific.
I suspect they were both getting what they wanted out of that relationship. You know what I mean? Like, he probably knew that she was just with him because he's a vampire. She doesn't seem that, like, chill about it if Rose knows. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we love Slater, and I like to hope that, you know, he had his wits together about it.
He was a very intelligent man.
He was. But also, he had his vampire files under Kristen Stewart.
Oh my god.
Yeah, no, that was his password.
That was his password.
Oh yeah, and then
password.
It's a bad password. There's no uppercase that we know about, no numbers, no special characters. Come on.
But also another Twilight reference.
Yeah.
They can't decide what they're doing with it. Like, are they acknowledging Twilight? Are they not? Like, pick a side.
I do like the idea, because you remember this will be 2011, everyone was making fun of Twilight. I do like that Slater appreciated what it was and what a masterpiece it was and what a brilliant young actress Kirsten Stewart was.
So true. Man of taste.
Yeah. His apartment does look lovely as well. I wrote he has good taste in
and
home decor.
Glass. I feel like, why is no one else? I feel like Rose is always like, oh, I come here to look through the glass. Why does she never get glass?
Dick Slater didn't have a daylight ring.
No, she should just get.
They're not
glass.
That hard to get. They should just get daylight rings.
They're not that hard.
You have to be
get.
Nice to one witch, and you and in 500 years, you have to be nice to one witch to get a daylight ring.
Yeah, God. Yeah. Anyway, so Elena blackmails Alice kind of in a way to get into Slater's computer, and then she reveals the real reason. So she told Rose she wanted to get there to get more information about Klaus. Turns out she wanted to send a message to Klaus that the doppelganger was alive and that she was going to surrender so that he could break the curse.
Insane. An insane move.
Shall I tell you what's also an insane move? Is last episode, she found out that not only does the curse need her, it needs a werewolf Tyler, a vampire Caroline, and a witch Bonnie. God. So not only is she like, I want to surrender, she's being like, I want to surrender and give up my friend Caroline, Bonnie, and evidently her best friend Tyler, as we learned from the last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's hoping that she can make a deal to not use them.
That's a
But she doesn't
business.
Know Klaus, so how does she know she can make any kind of deal?
Because she just drives a bargain with any vampire and gets away with it.
And also, she's meant to be like the best person in the world. Like, it's not just her sacrifice. Even if it's not people she knows that like a werewolf and a vampire has to die, and she's meant to think of them as like human beings.
Yeah. And also, like you say, she can drive a bargain with anyone. When she last tried to drive a bargain with Elijah, he just took off her necklace and compelled her. So what does she think she's going to gain with Klaus? Klaus is worse than Elijah.
I didn't say that she was successful at driving a bargain.
You said she was cocky.
She tries. I think she's just got in her head that they can have like any vampire and any werewolf. So like, but there can only be one doppelganger at one point. So like, she has to be there. And then she's hoping. I think also maybe she's like, if she goes, he'll take her away and he won't come to Mystic Falls. I think that's what she's thinking.
Well, she knows Stefan and Damon, so she knows they'd do something stupid to save her.
Yeah.
She'd like, these people in her life aren't even on Klaus's radar at this moment in time. That he doesn't know any, like, he doesn't know anything about them. So why draw attention to them?
Dumb. And then all Alice does is goes, I knew it! Like the little idiot she is.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, Alice. No. So Rose calls Damon. Damon comes in to stop her. I don't really like the way Damon comes in. He comes in, like, very controlling. And yes, we've all said that she has been an idiot and it's a really stupid plan. And
sorry, did you say you like? I think you like the way he comes in?
I don't really like the way he
comes in. Okay, okay. Sorry, Ellie, go on. I thought you said you like it. And I was like, well, I have some issues.
Oh, no, I hate every single second of it.
That makes way more sense. I thought it was out of character for you.
Oh, yeah, no. He's just treating her like a child. And it's, yeah, I don't really know how.
He's very aggressive.
Yeah.
He's very aggressive. Elena goes for a punch and then he stops her, but then says really quite violently, don't ever do that again.
Yeah, it felt like an abusive relationship is the vibe it gave off.
And he was trying to like pull her and like just get her to leave, quite like a controlling, violent manner. Like it was, oh god, it was just it was just not very
really
nice.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, and like when the vampires come, that Cody that Slater, Alice messaged through Slater's stuff. When they arrive and Elena tries to like say hello to them, Damon goes, "I will break your arm."
Oh, it didn't. That didn't feel like an empty threat.
No. I think, and we've said it before, but like, I think that really what really distinguishes like Stefan and Damon with Elena is like they will both do anything to protect Elena, that like Damon will harm Elena if he thinks that it's the process of protecting her, whereas Stefan will never do that. Like Damon thinks like, oh, breaking her arm or knocking her out or being aggressive with her now is worth it because it will protect her from Klaus at this time, whereas Stefan would never do that to her.
Where did Stefan think Damon had gone when he went to save Elena?
I don't think he had a clue. I don't think Damon said anything. I just think he disappeared.
Yeah, I don't think he came down. I think he just got the call from Rose and they were like, we can't wait for him because Jeremy's in. They were too distracted at the time.
Yeah. Then kind of like while all these stupid shenanigans are happening, it turns out that the reason Jonah was at Elena's house at the start was to steal some of their things so they could do this, not a locator spell, which we know exists and has done several times in the show, a spell where... where Jonah can make it so Elijah can see visually where Elena is, even though they know where she lives and she goes to school most days. So she's not that hard to she goes to school with Jonah's son, so she's not that hard to track down, and there's no need for this spell at all.
No. And also Elena saw Elijah in the window.
Yeah,
it's not like it's an invisible spell where he
gets to see it. Yeah. So then he arrives. I do enjoy him shocking Damon, who's like, you're dead. And he's like, for centuries now.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Cool and calm and collected. I love it.
I also, it's so good because it leaves him so confused. Like, he kills one guy. He does two heart grabs at the same time. And then he just runs away. And you're like, the whole, as the audience, you're just like, why? Why has he done that? Why has he ran away? Why hasn't he just like grabbed Elena and killed Damon and stuff? And it's so good.
I love how much like Elijah can just change the energy of a scene by like entering the room. Like it instantly becomes a different scene. It instantly becomes a much better scene. He's such a good character. Yeah. He's so like, you're like, what does he want? Like, why is he's seemingly killing like Klaus's henchmen?
And then he's chatting to Jonas at the end being like, oh, because Jonas was like, oh, I assume you killed Damon, where Elijah says where he's been. And he's like, no, I spared him because he'll keep Elena safe and that's where she needs to be.
Yet like, another person who wants Elena to be safe.
How does she have this power? I don't understand.
And then we kind of end the episode with Elena finding out that Stefan's trapped in the tomb. And we get another really horrible scene between Damon and Elena where, like, he literally grabs her and, like, shoves her into a wall. We get both a bad scene from Damon and a terrible plan for Elena. She wanted to just run into the tomb where Catherine Idiot. Is. I don't know what she thought she was going to do.
Because I know her explanation was like, but Stefan's in there. That's all she could think of.
God, it's madness. Everyone's so dumb this episode. I hate it.
The only person who's not, the only two people, Elijah and Catherine.
No, but Elijah's plan to do a spell to find Elena is dumb. They don't need to do that.
That's
the
true.
Scene is good, but the plan is dumb. True. I would say the only non-dumb people, Tyler. And I guess Catherine, yeah.
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 Does Caroline do anything dumb?
She kept reading that diary aloud when Tyler was having a real moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Just let the man process some stuff first.
And then Damon has the gall to say to Stefan, of all the idiot plans, Stefan. I mean, at least he's right. All of them have been idiot plans. But yeah.
Summarise the episode for us. Also, that conversation where Stefan was in the tomb and Damon was out of the tomb was so weird because it was just the two of them talking, but Damon wasn't facing Stefan. He was just kind of talking to him over his shoulder.
Yeah. Because he was like, I can't possibly come to the, like, oh, I don't know.
I can't face you. Oh, God. Been a bit negative this episode.
I think it's fair to say it was a bad episode. I think we can be negative about it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's always going to be one.
I'm sorry if this is your favorite episode, but like, you know, it shouldn't be.
It really shouldn't be. There are so many better episodes.
Oh God. Should we move on to a better segment of the podcast? Stats. So what do we have to add this week?
Three kills for Elijah, two of which are heart grabs.
I know. Oh my God. So that means Elijah is now up to, well, for this season and his total, because he's only been in one season, he is up to 5 kills, which puts him joint at the top of our season 2 kill count. It's him and Klaus. So he's taken over Damon. And it puts our total kills for this season. Actually, do you guys want to guess? How many do you think we're up to?
Ooh, like 25 to 30?
Al, what's your guess?
32.
We're on 22.
Damn it.
No, 22 for this season and 3 heart grabs. And then would you like to do total across all of it so far?
Ooh.
What's your guess? Do you want to guess that one too?
Is there a total of
I'm going to say like kills. 57.
Total kills, yeah. You think 57?
Yeah.
There were a lot last season. Oh, that was a great guess, Ellie.
You've stolen my guess of 57.
64.
It is 80.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, you've got to remember, Damon is 28 of them.
That's why I went like the 50s, but I didn't think anyone else was near Damon.
No,
20,
the next highest is John on 9. But you know, we've got hope that Klaus and Elijah might get up there. We've not even met Klaus and he's on 5.
Yeah, that's true.
Anything else to add? Such blank faces. I think we definitely have to add Slater and Alice.
Slater and Alice.
Oh yeah.
Alice gives Alice a no time
acknowledge
of day.
Her existence. And then I don't think it's time to add, but I guess, do we want to talk about Jeremy and Bonnie or leave it for a different day?
We added them last week, didn't we?
No, they're not on. Did we? No, we didn't add them, no.
Oh, then yes.
I guess maybe it's time. There has been a declaration of feeling.
Yeah, and there was a nearly kiss. So yeah, okay. That's okay. So if we add Jeremy and Bonnie, what we form is a lovely relationship square between...
Oh, God.
come with me on this journey. So Jeremy dated Anna. Anna dated Ben. Ben kissed Bonnie. And now we have Bonnie and Jeremy. So a lovely little square has formed.
Joy. Oh, God.
And Bonnie gets her second line in the relationship chart.
Such bad lines. Poor Bonnie.
Yeah.
Such bad lines.
Yep. So Bonnie. We briefly saw Slater's list of vampire contacts. This was basically the names of a bunch of people who worked behind the scenes in like production and runners and stuff. So like a fun little thing for them to see their names on screen.
Aww.
Also, if you remember the scene where Tyler was playing basketball, it was a cover of Only Happy When It Rains. And the cover was sang by Cat Graham.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Was it now? That's cool.
So she was featured in the soundtrack. And then I just had a little look at the user reviews on IMDb, and this one did make me laugh. So this particular user wrote, 7 out of 10. I liked it. It was okay for some of it, but it was rather annoying. People doing dumb things, but hey, still a whole lot left to go. And what I really liked about this review is it was wrote and put up on the 25th of December, 2020. So I watching and reviewing Vampire Diaries on Christmas Day, and 2020, it was a hard Christmas for many of us. So I hope that that user got some comfort from Vampire Diaries.
Do you know what? Seven's very high considering what emotionally they must be going through. And also the review wasn't that great because
I would give this one like a 2, honestly. It was a bad episode.
It was so bad. Yeah, I think 2 is very fair.
Oh gosh,
7 is so generous.
7 is a very generous.
Maybe they were drunk,
yeah, or feeling the Christmas spirit.
Maybe
being a bit more lenient in the festive season.
Yeah,
maybe.
Oh,
so funny.
Gosh, anyway, that's it for this episode. We'll be back, maybe more positive, next week for any episodes every Wednesday. But in the meantime, if you want to contact us, how can they do that? How?
you can go on your podcast app of choice and you can rate us 5 stars, no less. Please, 5 stars only. Thank you.
Or you can follow us on Instagram at Missing Mystic Falls Pod. You can DM us, like our stories, like our reels, anything else you want to do.
Anything else?
The world is your oyster.
Anything else you can do? And
I don't know,
the Instagram
functionality is beyond me.
I was just about to say. Or you can follow us on Twitter at Miss Mystic Pod. Bye.
Bye. Bye.